Hello. This is the last part of the conversation that Paul O'Mahony and I had at Black Rock Castle Observatory Cafe earlier this week about an email that Chris Brogan had sent out to his followers. You can find the previous parts of this conversation over on Paul's Audio Boo stream, and you can find that at audioboo.fm/O'Mahony blog. And that's O-M-A-N-I-B-L-O-G. Our apologies for having split the audios up. We're sort of playing with some new equipment and some new gear and some new recording times, and it went a little bit wrong, so we ended up with our audio in a number of places. But that means you're on an adventure. You're on a treasure hunt. You're on a treasure hunt to find the other parts of this conversation. This part does stand on its own, so you don't need to worry about that. But if you do want to hear the entire conversation about Chris Brogan's email, then you'll need to go to Paul's Audio Boo stream. And that address again is audioboo.fm/O'Mahony blog. O-M-A-N-I-B-L-O-G. Thanks for listening.
Roger Overall, you asked me a question, right? You asked me a question there. Will you ask me that question again so that I can give you the proper answer?
Okay, so the question is a manifesto the foundation for your brand?
Okay, well, look, I never intended to do this, but when, I got to tell you a story, when our new company, you know, the new company that I am in the process of setting up, when I sat down to write my contribution to the business plan, right? The very first thing I wrote down was a document which I called Our Higher Purpose, right? So the very first thing I wrote was what I would now call, if you like, a manifesto, right? I stumbled into, because I said to myself, look, I won't be able to be clear about what I'm doing unless I'm clear about why I'm doing it, right? So I said, I have to actually put down, why are we actually having this business at all, right? What we're going to do is, will emerge, right? But the question is, why am I actually doing it, right? And I wrote this, drafted this thing, and then discussed it with my business partner. And out of it came this document, which I am now desperately searching here to be able to quote back to you, or quote to you from. But I'll come on to that in a minute. But basically, the whole point was that it made it so much easier to start with why. Why am I doing this at all? Right? Okay. I knew we're setting up this new company, right? We've got to build a brand, right? We've got to be clear what we're offering, you know? We've got to be clear who our customers are. We've got to be clear about, you know, what makes us different, right? But it seemed intuitively, I don't know where it came from. Well, intellectually, I don't know. I kind of could tell you where it came from. But it felt absolutely right for me to begin with, and why am I doing this at all?
Well, there's a book, isn't there? There's a book that is called Start With Why. And I forget who
Talk about it while I look for this particular document, because I'm going to quote a little bit from it in a minute.
Well, the book actually repeats pretty much what you've just said, that if you're setting up a business, you don't look at the what, you don't look at what you produce. And what you produce could be computers, it could be apples, it could be clothing, it could be shoes. It's not the product itself that's the significant thing, but underlying that is a why. Why are you producing shoes? Why are you producing apple cider? There's a driving force. And I suppose the most common example given, almost of any way to do business, is Apple. And Apple sells an experience as much as it sells computers. It sells an experience of technology that looks beautiful and works. Therefore, it is connecting with you on a very human level, because this piece of machinery, which Windows up until very recently wasn't able to really do, or Microsoft, any Microsoft-based product was very much a tech thing, whereas Apple managed to get behind that and say, well, we do this because the why we do this and why we operate the way we operate and why we put out the products we put out is because we want the experience to be as good as possible. This is my understanding of it anyway. So if I look at my own business, when I was a documentary photographer, well, I still am, I mean, I still take documentary photographs, the why stems from a belief that everybody has a story to tell and that life is precious and that everybody is more important than they can ever fathom to people they will never meet. For instance, most of us will never meet our great-grandchildren, but we are very important to them. Without us, they would never have existed. And they would have had an interest in our lives. So our moments and moments from our life are very valuable to other people. And everybody's life has value, and everybody has a story that is going to be cherished by somebody else. So in providing documentary photographs, of be it a wedding or a day at somebody's work, my purpose, my why, is because I want to capture this for people. And it proved very powerful. It proved very, very strong foundation for a business. Why it hasn't succeeded is quite a different story, but it gives you clarity, and it gives you a drive, and it gives you a focus, and you're far more effective. You know what you're doing. We were talking earlier about connecting with your ideal clients. Well, if you know why you're doing something, it makes it very easy to connect with these people, because you know their problems. You know who you're trying to connect with, because you know what you're trying to do for them.
Okay, it's so interesting, this. Why are you in business? I mean, if you're going to set up a business, it seems pretty obvious that it's good to know why you're doing it. But if you write the why in a way that taps into your core motivation, I mean, it is not enough to say, I'm setting up this business in order to make money.
No.
Right? Or I'm setting up this business in order to satisfy customers, right? Why are you doing it? Let me give you a little extract. The first four propositions on the manifesto for our new company business go as follows. Number one, we want a better world, one where business is strong for customers and a healthy society. Number two, we are change agents by disposition and track record. We are not satisfied with the status quo. Number three, we need to collaborate with others. We can't do it alone. That is why we always behave collaboratively. Now, I'm just going to stop at those three, right? Now, this was written, just take the last one. We need to collaborate with others, right? What that phrase means in my mind is that we have no option. You know, this is a need that we have. We are the type of personality, we are the type of human characters who need to collaborate with others, right? We cannot do it alone. We don't have the belief that we can do it alone, right? We don't have the option of thinking, because we don't have the thought that we can do it alone, right? This is actually a statement of fact, if you like, right? This is experience has produced the knowledge that we need to. It's not an aspiration, right? It's a need, right? It's not we desire to collaborate with others, right? But we need. It's our need, right? That's why we always behave collaboratively. It's the DNA. It's a compulsion. It's an absolutely integral part, right? So if you find yourself in a situation of dealing with us, you will always find yourself in the company of people who are collaborative. Now, that's kind of... What do you think that these statements, these kind of statements?
Well, there's a couple of aspects. Well, first of all, we'll deal with the statements as you've written them down. First of all, there, they strike me as being very true.
Very true.
Very real and genuine. Because I know you and I know your business partner. I know you infinitely better than I know your business partner, but he strikes me as that kind of man as well. So it strikes me that the business is being built on a foundation that is genuine, which is very necessary. the collaboration aspect that you've dwelt on there is significant because, well, why are you building your business this way? Well, because I have an urge that needs addressing to make me feel good and active and positive to collaborate. I have that. It's almost like saying, I need to breathe air. I need to drink water.
It does feel like that to me, you know, because if it's the first proposition, we want a better world, right? We want a better world, right?
Absolutely.
Now, that is the fact, statement of fact, right? There are some people who do not want a better world. They think the world is actually good enough already, and they're satisfied with what exists right now. And their view is that life is... their effort in life is to consume the world in the most personally satisfying way, right? There are such people. I have met them. I know them. I am not like that. They are different from me. There are people who do not want a better world.
It's true. I'm being very diplomatic. but there's another point here. There's another interesting thing, because how often have you heard somebody say that when you start your own business, whatever the business is, whatever it is, it could be photography, it could be...
Selling paintbrushes.
Whatever it is, you are always told, whatever that thing is that you do, whatever your passion is, that is secondary. You are a business person first. Now...
I've forgotten that.
I've got into a lot of trouble over this.
Yeah.
I might actually find the first person who agrees with me on this. Because I think it's a load of... rubbish. I had to stop myself there. Because if you go into business believing you are a business person first, well, a good business person, a good business, as anybody who owns a stock or a stake in a business, or anybody who's on the board of a business will tell you, is that the business must make money, must make a profit. That's when you're being a good business person.
It won't be sustainable if it doesn't make money to plough back in, to invest and keep going.
And this is what you're told over and over and over again. You are, whatever it is that you do to make money, it is utterly secondary to being a business person. And I find that a very destructive way of looking at setting up a business. Because as soon as you place all those requirements on top of whatever it is you're trying to achieve, I think it's soul-destroying. I think it's a real barrier to actually doing what you want to do.
Well, it's also a risk. I'm going to take this into another left field. It's also a risk to your own mental health. Because if the business fails, and that can be because of factors completely outside your control, right? You get another competitor who invents a better way of doing it. You're doing your very best. You do nothing wrong. You manage your business well, right? And the whole market disappears out from underneath you, right? And you are a business person first, right? What you believe, your values and whatever are irrelevant. You know, your self-esteem can go down the drain because you have invested them in the business, right? If, on the other hand, you say, I'm a collection of values and beliefs and principles and passions, right? I happen to decide that I'm going to put them into this business, right? If the business folds, I've still got my passions, my beliefs, my blumpity blumps.
And this is kind of where I was trying to drive the conversation towards, because we're talking about Chris Brogan and a manifesto. If you're a business person first, foremost, and all those considerations come first and foremost, well, actually, you don't need a manifesto. Because if you're building your business based on why, then you need a manifesto.
Yes, I mean, if you are a business first type that we're talking about, is the first document you're going to think of producing is, these are our products and services.
Yeah, our business plan.
Right? And what you're going to forget then is a big, big problem, which is that, and this is where I think you're making a huge mistake, whether you like it or not, whatever you choose, I think the world has changed. There was a time when people took things on authority. They actually weren't curious about the beliefs and values of the business owners, what lies behind the business. We have been screwed, let down, disappointed so often by a whole range of things, including businesses and including business owners, that what people are increasingly doing is having a look at who is the person who's behind this business, what are they really like, what is their character, what do they stand for, what are their real beliefs, what are their real values. And investors are increasingly interested in that. Customers are increasingly interested in what you stand for. That's why there has been an increasing drift, if you like, or move towards a thing called corporate social responsibility. Because it is clearly making out that, you know, companies don't exist in a vacuum. They have an impact on society. Everything has, you know, so our values and our beliefs and our stances and our intentions that are there, they all matter. So even if you don't have a manifesto, I think I'm getting to in a long-winded way, if you don't have a manifesto, people will actually invent one for you and project it into you and say, I know what that company is like. People are already saying that the passing of Steve Jobs is changing the Apple manifesto. Now, they may be wrong. They may be entirely wrong, but am I not right?
You are right. Yes, you are. Yes. Yes. Because, that is a very powerful point you make, because you have a choice. You can write your manifesto, and in fact, you have to write your manifesto if your business is going to thrive, because if you don't, somebody else is going to do it for you, and you have no control over what their manifesto for you is going to be.
I know why they're in business. They're there to make money, and that's why they give me lousy follow-up service. They don't care a damn if I come back next time, right? They're purely interested in new customers, right? Mm-hmm. So they take my money, they make me a promise they don't keep, and they don't give a damn. That's what I regard as their manifesto, right? We don't care about people. We care about money.
Yes. We're not happy until you're not happy.
Well, that's... Yeah. Okay. Look... I put you in charge of the next phase of this conversation, Roger, overall, while I am fiddling with my computer here. What is the implications of all this for you?
What is the implication of all this for me? This is the wrong time to do it, but better late than never. As I am changing my business, as I am turning the ship of my career, I should sit down and I should write a manifesto. Interestingly, the manifesto exists in my head somewhere. It is already there in unexpressed and unwritten down form, but it is a very good process to write it down. So that, for me, is what is going to happen.
I'm going to do something to you, and you won't thank me for doing this immediately. I want you to make one statement about yourself, which will be in your manifesto, right? I want you to start writing the manifesto right now, because it's so easy to say, because it's so obviously you, and because it's so obviously of incredibly high importance, right? What is your number one proposition on the table, right? This is the start of the overall manifesto, right? What is it to be, right? You've had long enough to think. You're now live on camera, on air. You're on the stage at TED, or else you're having an intimate discussion with your accountant.
I'm never coming again. This always happens. Okay, my number one.
Your number one?
Well, I wouldn't say it's my number. It's high up the list.
Give me one proposition, right? I've got a pen here, I've got a Moleskine notebook open, and we've got a recording devices rolling. Right?
I have. Now, I don't know if this is strong enough. I'm going to put it out there and we can discuss.
I
will help people tell their story.
Go on, you can have a second one. I will help people tell their story. I'll be able to remember that. I like that. I like that a lot. I'll give you feedback. I will help, right? So you're a help. But it's actually their story.
It's their story, right? Because by telling their story, if a company tells its story, if an individual who is in business can tell their story, I believe they are unlocking value.
Okay, we'll leave why you're doing this particular one, but give me another proposition, one more, in the overall manifesto. I will help people tell their story.
I will be more patient.
Until?
I will be more patient until.
I will be more patient until the cows come home. I will be more patient until I die. I will be more patient, you know, than...
Well, there's no point saying I'll be more patient
every
for the
day.
Next,
I will
for
be
the
more
next
patient
year
every
then...
day, you know?
I will be...
Come on, I want to know. Do you want to add anything to it? I will be more patient. It's got a little bit. It's a little bit too abstract.
It's
come
a little
on.
Bit too
come
abstract.
Come on, come on. Give it a bit of, get a bit of Roger overall flavor. I will be more patient. The man is now thinking. I
the man is now thinking.
Himself it's now it's thinking. He's been put on the spot, and it's very, very unfair. And you know. No, he's
it's awful,
more,
isn't it? I'm
he's
sure people
a more
are
thoughtful, reflective. I mean, if I gave him an hour or 10 minutes, he'd come back with extraordinary value. But this is the start of a draft. Okay, look, we can put three dots, right? There's an ellipsis there, right? You can add to it, right? You know. Okay, last one. Last one. Come on, come on. This is the personal manifesto of this person.
This is like
right?
torture.
And this is going, is relevant to his behavior in every single arena, but particularly will be applied in the business arena. I will help people tell their story. I will be more patient with people who are not Wallies. This is Paul O'Mahony adding that in, right? Or with people who are Wallies, actually. You know. Anyway, look. I'm only saying.
I will help people fulfill their potential. Is another.
I
thing.
Will help people
fulfill their potential.
Okay. Great. Okay. There is the start of the manifesto. I will help people fulfill their potential.
Yes.
Yeah.
Including me.
Including me. Ah, right, 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 right. So we get into... Okay, right, enough about that, right? We have now got a beginning of a manifesto, and this is the first time you've ever put it in exactly those form, that form, ever. Right. Right, great.
It's lovely. Having teeth
okay,
extracted.
I think we should wrap up the entire conversation.
I think we should as well.
By looking at what Chris Grogan's call to action was this week. And if I could find on the computer here... able quickly. Tell me, how important is it, Roger, in having a weekly personalized email of the type we're talking about? In your opinion, how important is it to have a call to action in the email every time?
I think a call to action is important simply because it look, you can digest information. And you can go, I agree 100% with what you've just told me. I agree 100% with what's contained in the email. And then you can do nothing with it. A call to action at least is, and it's as much as far as I can tell, that the author of the email, in this case Chris Grogan, can do to actually make you engage with what you've just read and make you go out and do something with it. It still won't help most people, but at least it's there. And I think it is an important thing to do because it's, especially if it's an easy one, especially if it's something that gives you, if it's something you can apply fairly quickly and you can see an immediate benefit, then that's a very powerful call to action.
This week's email from Chris, the very, very start, before he even personalized it, gave warning.
Has his call to action?
He's warned that at the end of this newsletter, at the end of this email, right, is an offer to participate, right? And if you want to have a look at that later, just click here. That's right up front, right? So there's a warning, I think, in there, which is, you know, it's a, both an offer, which is a call to action, really, I think. And he's actually giving you the ability to get to it. He then doesn't refer to it, so he kind of puts it in. It's an interesting technique. Gives all the stuff of value, I think, you know, straightforward, giving away stuff we've been talking about, right? Ends it with, what do you live by? And you've just been saying, you know, perfect manifesting, what do you live by? Because, and you've answered that, I will help, I will help, right? And then he announces a special event, right? Taking place on September the 27th. That's very, coming very soon, right? And it's an educational talk, recorded, right? He's actually saying, look, here's an opportunity to buy something from us. right? I can't even remember how much it costs, right? But basically he said, if you want more, just swing by, and he gives a link, right? So he says, if you want to find out more, do this, right? You'll also find there stuff like this, previous stuff. You'll find testimonials from our last event. And he's done it. That's the kind of stuff he has said, if you're not interested in finding out about this, I've given you something of value anyway. So the call to action this week, really, from Chris, was two things, I think. One is go and, in effect, go and write your own manifesto. Right? And the second one was, have a look at what we're offering you and see if it's right for you. I think that's pretty decent call to action demonstration.
I think so.
Okay, I'm giving you again the last word. What do you want? How do you want to finish our conversation today in Blackrock Castle? How would you like to? Would you like to have any last word?
Would I like to have any last word? Well, I think actually we've said pretty much everything we're going to say. I have a start, which is actually in your notebook, my own manifesto.
You can follow.
We have information on your manifesto.
And it's 11:38 in the morning.
It's 11:38 in the morning, and I still haven't woken up.
You need another coffee.
I do.
You need a coffee. The last one was chocolate, yeah?
The last one was chocolate.
Are you going to graduate?
I will graduate. We're going to graduate.
I've got to drink water, right? Okay. Look, thank you very much for listening to us. It's an honor to have a listener. And the more we have, the happier we will be. But more than that, our call to action is... tell us what you think of these conversations, right? Tell us. Give us a bit of help. Help us to make these conversations fit for you.
He's very good at that, isn't he, listener? He's very good at that.
I don't know. We'll find out. Bye-bye. Now, wait a minute. Be very careful that...